I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We have two conversations about health today. Later, we'll talk more about the public option. That's the idea of a government-sponsored health insurance plan that could compete against private insurers. Polls show the public option is regaining public support. Strong majorities now support it. So why are so many conservatives, including Democrats, against it? We'll hear from a conservative Democrat, Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, who explains her concerns. But first, cancer. When to screen for it? Whether to screen for it. In recent years, the answer seemed simple enough, early and often. But earlier this week, the New York Times reported that the American Cancer Society, which has long been a staunch defender of most cancer screening, is now saying that the benefits of detecting many cancers, especially breast and prostate, have been overstated, end quote. After the article was published, the Society issued a press release saying that the American Cancer Society stands by its screening guidelines. Women are encouraged to continue getting mammograms. Needless to say, this is very confusing, so we are going to try to clarify this. So we've called upon Dr. Len Lichtenfeld. He's Deputy Chief Medical Officer of the American Cancer Society. Also with us is Dr. Wayne Frederick. He's an oncologist and member of the National Medical Association. He's a surgeon and director of the Howard University Cancer Center. He's here with me in our Washington studio. Dr. Lichtenfeld is with us from Florida. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you, Michelle.
Happy to be here.
So, Dr. Lichtenfeld, let me start with you. Has the Cancer Society shifted its stance on cancer screenings or not?
Michelle, the answer is the Cancer Society has not shifted its stance on screening. And as I wrote in my blog yesterday, I'm trying to figure out where the news is. Mammography has limitations. They've been well recognized. We talk about them. But still, based on the evidence, it remains, despite its shortcomings, the most effective test to diagnose breast cancer early, and it has reduced deaths from that disease.
Your colleague at the American Cancer Society, Dr. Otis Brawley, is quoted in the Times as saying, "We don't want people to panic, but I'm admitting that American medicine has overpromised when it comes to screening. The advantages to screening have been exaggerated." What, in your view, is he trying to tell us?
Well, I think he's trying to tell you what we've known for a long time and what we've been saying for a long time. That's what I'm saying. I don't think this is news. If there's a perception out there, and I suspect there is among some people, that mammography is perfect, and we're not talking about prostate cancer screening, that's a different topic, but breast cancer screening, if people think it's perfect, it's not perfect. We know that there are cancers that are diagnosed that would not cause harm. We also know there are cancers we don't find early enough, but what we also know is that the death rates from breast cancer have been dropping for about the past 20 years, and mammography has played a very significant role in that decline in incidence and that decline of deaths.
Dr. Frederick, let's bring you into the conversation. Does this conversation concern you, not necessarily our conversation, but this confusion over whether screening is desirable or not concern you?
Yeah, it's extremely concerning to me, Michelle. It's concerning for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look at the disparities in outcomes for cancers, especially in breast, African-American women are less likely to get breast cancer. However, they're more likely to get it as in their premenopausal state. So I routinely have patients in their 20s and 30s that have breast cancer. The screening guidelines for mammography don't kick in until you're 40. Some people may start at 35 if somebody's high risk. In the community that we serve here in D.C., being the nation's capital, it's unfortunate. In the past 18 months, I've seen 24 patients with fungating breast masses. These are women who did not have insurance, had a breast mass that they felt, weren't able to access care, had a mass that grew and erupted through their skin. So my concern is that as we put this news out and it gets more confusing, we are already fighting an uphill battle in our minority communities to get them to get screening, and now we put information out that, you know, justifies why they shouldn't go and screen. Secondly, most of the data has suggested that people who do get screened routinely also do other health types of activities that are very helpful. They're more likely to see their primary care physician regularly. They're more likely to be concerned about their blood pressure. They're going to be more likely to eat well, et cetera, exercise. And therefore, the screening as part of the overall benefits in terms of overall health, I think, are well underestimated, especially in those communities that are adversely affected by some of these diseases.
So you're concerned that people who are just now getting the message that they need to be vigilant about their health may then get a confusing or counter message to ignore it, and that all the effort around education that you've been trying to achieve, your concern will be undone.
Exactly. And secondly, as I said, there's a significant disparities in the outcome. We have made advances, but still African-American women, for instance, are much more likely to die from breast cancer when they get it, which means that we may be dealing with a slightly different disease, a different host, different genetic factors, all of which I think the screening plays an important role in us getting to the bottom of it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Drs. Wayne Frederick and Len Lichtenfeld, and we're talking about this controversy over cancer screening guidelines. Dr. Lichtenfeld, you're saying you're not sure what the news is, but as I understood it, one of the concerns is that there are small non-lethal cancers that may be, that there may be over-detection, if there is such a thing, or that there may be sort of non-lethal cancers that are then detected, but that more lethal cancers are not for some reason, or that there's a concern about misdiagnosis. Is that a concern?
Well, let's understand that all of this started because of an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association that, in fact, was not new research. It was an opinion article or a commentary article that said we really need to do better in targeting people who really need treatment. And we agree wholeheartedly with that. And frankly, the article went on to draw some conclusions and make some hypotheticals and theoreticals and so forth about what we could be doing better if we did more research. That's what really started this. The answer is, Michelle, that yes, we know, and we're very much aware of that. We know we treat many women to save a smaller number of lives. That is the fact, and we do need better research to target those people who will benefit from treatment. But I'm going to come back to something that Dr. Frederick said, because I want to make something else very clear. The American Cancer Society has devoted a considerable amount of research over the past several years to highlighting and understanding disparities in health care. We have committed not only our research money, but our advertising funds, as well as our commitment to improve access to health care over the past several years, and this is critically important. We could not agree with Dr. Frederick more that access to care, particularly in the African-American and other underserved communities, is critical to improving the health of those communities. We have a tragedy on our hands that we need to address. So we want to make it also clear that we do believe that mammography is important. It remains the best available test. Could we do better with more research and understanding which cancers are really bad cancers? Yes, but right now we have to deal with the evidence we have and the best test we have, and that in breast cancer, that happens to be mammography.
What about prostate cancer? You're saying that that's a different issue. Explain.
It is a different issue because the research has been done to show that breast cancer screening is effective in saving lives. In prostate cancer, the fact is, that started back in the late 1980s, we just now have the first research to show whether or not the PSA test really makes a difference. And quite frankly, the results are mixed at best, and we feel don't necessarily prove that prostate cancer screening saves lives. So we believe that in all communities, healthcare professionals and their patients have to have a careful discussion about the benefits, risks, and harms of PSA testing and prostate cancer treatment. And if a man, after that discussion, thinks they would wish to go ahead with the testing, if they've been informed, that's acceptable, but no one should be under the misconception that there's absolute proof that the PSA test significantly reduces deaths from prostate cancer.
Dr. Frederick, you were saying that black women are less likely to get breast cancer, but more likely to die from it, and they're also more likely to get it earlier than white women are. What about prostate cancer in African-American men?
Well, again, you know, the disparity and the disproportionate effect that some of these diseases have, as he just pointed out, is enormous. I appreciate the point that the American Cancer Society has been making strides to do that. But again, even in this particular study that came out in JAMA and it was an opinion article, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty familiar with Dr. Albertson from my time at UConn. My concern about this is in most of these studies, there's often a disproportionate representation of Caucasians versus African Americans, and with prostate cancer, again, African Americans fall into a high-risk group. So you have a group of people, again, who will be getting a recommendation, and as he said, I think the discussion is worthwhile. The problem is it's very difficult to get these men to the table. And if we bring them to the table with a mixed message, a message that is not forceful, that is not clear and concise, we are less likely to get them involved in what I think is critical behavior patterns. There's no doubt in my mind that there are some prostate cancers that are detected very early, they're very small, and therefore we probably overtreat those, and I am willing to accept that. However, I think that, again, the disparities in the outcomes for because of access to care and other social issues which may have a biological nature have not been elucidated enough to make this clear.
What I'm hearing both of you say is that it is very difficult to have a one-size-fits-all message around health. And Dr. Frederick, I'm gonna sort of press you on this point. How then can we talk about these issues in the popular sphere, get the message out to as many people as need to get it, but recognizing that for genetic reasons, some people are more susceptible to certain circumstances than others, for social reasons, and that these, and some people, maybe different communities need to get different messages. Perhaps that's beyond the scope of our conversation today, but what are your thoughts about that?
I don't think it's beyond the scope. I think this is where it needs to start. I think you're absolutely right. You've pointed out, I think, what needs to be done as a beginning issue. I think we need to recognize that if we can decrease the gap in these outcomes, we will significantly affect both financially, since most people are concerned about the economics of these issues, and from an outcomes health survival issue. I am absolutely convinced that if we close the gaps of how poorly minorities and underinsured and underserved communities do with some of these cancers, we will significantly affect the overall survival and our overall care. And I think we have just turned a blind eye to that, unfortunately.
Dr. Wayne Frederick is a member of the National Medical Association. He's an oncologist and a surgeon. He directs the Cancer Center at Howard University, and he was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. We were also joined by Dr. Lichtenfeld. He is the Deputy Chief Medical Officer of the American Cancer Society, and he was kind enough to join us on the phone from Jacksonville, Florida. Doctors, gentlemen, I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.